FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, April 19th, 2018. As always, we invite you to be part of the show, join the dialogue, join the discussion. We love getting your emails. The address is kl@kerrylutz.com. Right now, I'm in California. I'm meeting with our good friend Mike Gazzola. We're working on some projects together. In the meantime, it actually rained here last night, if you could believe that, which means that the freeways are like ice skating rinks because it never rains in sunny Southern California. But place where it does rain and snow and where you have a lot of miserable weather is in Toronto, Canada. And our good friend Chris Vermeulen is with us now. You find him at goldandoilguy.com. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kerry.
Hey, so crazy markets. We're seeing a lot of share prices don't ever want to go down again, and maybe precious metals are going to make a move.
Yeah, I think so. The sentiment for the stock market really is everyone is fairly bullish, and they all think it's going to continue to go high. And the recent hiccup we had in February is shaking things up a little bit. But, I still think the markets are going to have a final push higher. May only last a few months. I don't think there's a whole lot of energy left, but I think we're going to start to see multiple things move together. I think this could be the last push higher in equities. I also think we're going to start to see commodities actually start to outperform the equities market itself. And we saw this back in 2007. And so there's going to be a lot of big asset reallocation going on in the next year.
I happen to agree with you. I mean, when you look at the relative strength of gold over the, really going back to last year, but, for ease of analysis, look at it from January. All right. It couldn't get over that 1365, 1385 technical resistance point. And normally, when you're looking at a market technically and it fails to breach a technical barrier, that's extremely bearish, right? But in this case, it still is staying pretty put, not really going much below the 1320 plus range. And then you look at silver. Silver has been on a tear. Nobody's even noticed it. It's back over $17. It seems to me the technical attributes are pointing to a major rally later on in the year.
Yeah, and I fully agree. We saw the big rally in 2016 in January, really through to all the way to June of 2016, and gold just ripped to the upside. It hit that 1375 area, and the first time it hit that technical level, man, it got sold into hard and went all the way back down to almost 1100. And now we keep seeing it all this year. It keeps moving up, and it's got the characteristics of a bull market, meaning it rallies for a week or two, and then you see two or three big down days, and that's normal. That's just the market trying to kind of buck people off of it, and then buyers step right back in. And we've been going up and repushing that 350, 375 level on gold. We're hugging that level for the last couple months, meaning we're eating through that overhead supply and people are accumulating gold. And if it breaks through this level, we're going to see a huge move, I think, in precious metals in general. And of course, you touched on silver. Silver, to me, is the hidden gem. It's got the best technical pattern, the best setup overall going forward. And I think it will put people to shame. It'll blow people's mind, I think, when we see it start to take off and rally. And same with silver miners. Same boat. I think they're going to put gold, even gold miners, to shame in terms of performance.
Hey, you just watch it, and it's really showing underlying strength, which it hasn't done in so long. And and it's not going down. It, like 2016, was all over the place. 2017 was an inside year. It never broke the high of 2016, and it never went below the low of 2016. So it was really a channel, and it's continuing that channel. But it's just, you know, the sell-offs happen every week. There's one or two sell-offs a week, and then it bounces right back, probably on the moving average as well, on the 200 day.
Yeah, and you know, and then on the flip side, you take a look at the U.S. dollar index, and you look at that at the weekly or the monthly chart, and you zoom way back to 2013, 2014. The U.S. dollar, to me, is setting up. It's in a strong downtrend. It's already broken down from the bull market it had of 2014, 2015, 2016. And it's broken down significantly. It's forming another bear flag. And, you know, rates keep going up. When rates are going up, we should see the currency moving up. But I think investors are catching on that the music's going to end for the stock market. The Fed is quickly loading their gun with all these little quarter basis points, trying to put in these little bullets for protection to use down the road. And they know the rates are probably going to start to collapse as the stock market collapses, and the dollar is just really underperforming. And if the dollar breaks down below the recent lows, the 2018 lows here, it's going a lot further. We're going to see it drop another, probably down to the 85, 84 cent level. And that could be the massive spark that triggers commodities to take off. And commodities tend to do really well at the near the end of a bull market in stocks. So everything is starting to unfold. It's playing out. And the last couple of days, we've seen a lot of money piling into precious metals and miners, and especially silver and silver miners.
Yeah. You know, and they've been so beat down. I mean, look, they peaked. I know exactly when they peaked here, Chris, because I started doing the show June 17th of 2011, saying, oh, you know, I'm going to get mining companies to sponsor me. This is going to be great. And then they peaked in September of 2011. And other than that little sign of life back in 2016, they've been dead in the water ever since. So, hey, look, oil, we're seeing heading towards $70. Oil was supposed to be, you know, moribund for the indefinite future because there's so much U.S. oil going into the market and all of this nonsense that you hear. I mean, that isn't nonsense. It is true. But somehow, some way, there's a reason why oil is going up. And does that have to do with the dollar? Right?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of things are coming into play. First of all, the market usually does what you don't expect. So if you're an average trader and you look at the economy and you look at financials, a lot of times the markets don't make any sense. You know, you get really good news on something and the stock falls 8% that day. That's the way the markets move. And people haven't been thinking oil is going to do much. We've got electric vehicles. We've got electrical products coming into the market. You know, lithium is the new more or less gasoline or the new oil. It's all this stuff and the supply, and there's no reason oil should be going up. But, you know, I think that was all baked into the cake potentially a couple of years ago when everything crashed and all this started to change hands the way transportation is going. And, you know, here we are. We're talking about war starting. The dollar has been falling for quite a while, for like a year, and it looks like it could fall a lot further. And we're coming to the end of a bull market in equities, and investors like to move to physical assets versus just paper assets on companies that can vanish and have news. So a lot of stuff's coming together. I think crude oil, I called this back late 2017, saying if we can break the $62 per barrel level, we're going to $74 to $78 a barrel in crude oil. And here we are just muscling our way up. We broke out really in the last week and a half again to new highs, and it continues to move. So I think crude oil still has quite a bit of upward potential here going forward this year.
Hey, and we should mention, as of when we're recording this interview, crude just broke $69 the barrel. It's at, I think it's $69.12. It just went up to, give or, you know, 60. Well, of course, now it went down a little bit, but intraday, I looked at it 10 minutes ago before we started talking. It was 69 and change. And now, but in any event, well, there's a divergence. The other one I'm looking at, it's up 65 cents, $69.12 the barrel. So, you know, another interesting thing is that natural gas has stayed so depressed for so long. It reminds me of sugar during the late 80s and early 90s. It's just, it's hardly worth it to drill this stuff. And you know how many tens of thousands of shut-in wells there are, nat gas, dry gas wells in the U.S. Wet gas kind of trades closer to regular petroleum prices, but dry gas, meaning it's just natural gas, it's under $3 per million BTUs right now, which is like, it's the steal of the century. If you're in a manufacturing business, you're in an industrial business, or you have a Costco in Minnesota, you know, this is like a killer windfall for you.
Yeah. Natural gas, it's been carving out a bottom really since 2009. It's had some nice pops in price, but in the grand scheme of things, you look before that from 2000, you know, to 2008, geez, it was trading up 14, 15, and here we are at 269. And, you know, I think a lot of natural gas is going overseas now. I think there's going to be a huge move in natural gas. And it's kind of a sector nobody really talks about, or a commodity. There's not a lot of interest in it from the groups that I kind of hang with. And usually the stuff that's out of favor, no one thinks about, you know, a year or two from now, people will be going, wow, I wish I knew to look at natural gas, all this stuff getting imported overseas and all of the demand. And
you know, on Wall Street, they call natural gas the widow maker because nobody can figure out when it's going to move, because basically it's so beat down, it pretty much moves with the weather in the Northeast. And, you know, nobody knows what the weather is going to be. I mean, the Farmer's Almanac is probably the most accurate weather forecaster, and they aren't that good. But the fundamental case for it, it just keeps getting better and better, because the ratio of per BTU in nat gas as opposed to petroleum, it's so favorable. You know, every dollar that that a barrel of oil goes up, and that's why all the power plants, they've got trucks running on it now, cars. It's very difficult to switch over the infrastructure, the transportation infrastructure, to nat gas, because it's got some real challenges in terms of distribution and setting up nat gas distribution stations like gas stations is just not practical. But I'll tell you what, like right by LAX airport, there's a nat gas filling station right there. It's going to creep up. I've never bought into the electric car meme. I don't believe that, until that thing will go 500,000 miles on a charge. You know, it's just, there's just a lot of obstacles. We'll see how successful the Tesla 3 is. Then you can decide.
Yeah, I like the electric car idea. I don't like the idea of being limited and having to go plug in and charge with some random house in the country that labeled themselves as a charging station. But I like the idea. It's great for a group of people, but I definitely like the idea of pulling over every 5 miles you pass a gas station and you can fill up.
It's not practical. I mean, they're cool, don't get me wrong, and I really do like them, but I'm not convinced they're the future. I think fuel cells could still come and take it over, because the whole concept of batteries isn't so much, they'll find other materials. They're talking about sodium now, ways to extend it. I have no doubt that's going to happen, although it's a very evolutionary process. Unlike microprocessors, batteries are like still in the Stone Age. But the weight involved, you know, unless they really master the ultra capacitors, that's where, to me, it is, because then you can instantly charge a capacitor and you could be up and running faster than pumping a tank of gas. Till those ultra capacitors come into their own, the concept of charging has to change dramatically for cars to be viable. And then, you know, I mean, I love the concept, less moving parts, no transmission, have a motor on each wheel, fast as hell. They're great. But speaking of technology, you're working on your own piece of technology now. I'm sure many of you out there always wonder, what does this guy do when I'm interviewing somebody that you know for years? What does a guy do in his downtime when he's not trading, when he's not writing about gold and silver, whatever? You're working on a really interesting project now, Chris.
Yeah, yeah. We started, I found a group of guys who had a similar interest, and last September, we decided to start a crowdfunding project and build a jet-powered flying surfboard. So it's a hydrofoil mounted on a surfboard. So you're flying across the water, 2 to 3 feet out of the water with a tiny little jet turbine impeller engine, more or less, running underwater, and it's electric. And yeah, it's a really cool project. We've got backers from all around the world, and we've got people helping with prop design, impeller design, all the different 3D parts and sourcing parts for it. And we're trying to build this machine more or less from stock parts that are already available. So, you know, there's other versions of something like this out there, but they cost $12,000-$15,000 a piece, and we're able to put one together that is actually a lot safer and user friendly for only a couple grand. So we've been able to really take and hone things down with engineers and from so cool. all over the world, and everybody puts their info in. So it's a pretty neat project. We're calling it the VFOIL, VEFOIL .com, and it's you can see some photos of what we're building there.
I love it. It's such a great concept. Is that going to be electric powered batteries or have
it,
a motor?
It is. Yeah. So the surfboard's got batteries built into it. It's got a hatch you open up. All the electronics are inside the board, and everything runs down the mast to a fuselage with two little wings underwater and this little 56 millimeter impeller system that jets the water out the back. And he's got we've designed a waterproof remote control, which we're the first people actually to come to market with a floating waterproof remote control.
Really?
So it can be used for skateboards, jet surfboards, hydrofoils, and we've already got companies lined up to use it with their products. So it's really exciting how things have evolved from trying to build jet engine for a surfboard to now we've got a complete line of products coming out that are usable in other areas.
Amazing. You know, Chris, it's you're living the dream. It's an amazing time to be alive, and it sounds like you're having a lot of fun in the process. So, hey, want to subscribe to your site or check it out? Where do we go?
You can go to thegoldenoilguy.com or to thetechnicaltraders.com, which is where we're running the main newsletter now, where we cover cycle analysis and all of our ETF trades and focus on precious metals and oil as well.
Exciting times ahead. Questions, comments, join the show. Email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. Twitter feed's @KerryLutz. I'm not going to give you the Facebook page anymore. They're monitoring you even worse than we ever thought possible. So I'm on Facebook. You could look it up if you want, but don't feel like you have to. Do a lot of interesting things, like only in Florida stories, like people getting attacked by alligators and interesting tidbits like that. But hey, we're all about the money. We're about to see a major breakout. You know, I haven't said that before. I felt it in 2016 when it broke out, but that was a little fake to the major rally. Hey, Chris, it's always great to have you on. Good luck with the project, and we will talk to you again real soon.
Hey, thanks, Kerry. Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.